VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to ask you some questions here. What do you do when tragedy strikes? How do you respond when someone you love battles a matter that you have no idea how to solve? I mean, you consult with spiritual leaders, with healthcare professionals, with trusted consultants, and still there appears to be more questions than answers. And what happens when it seems the bottom falls out from your life? To whom do you turn? Our guest today will attest that despite the trials, the challenges, the heartaches, that God is always only good. Joining us here today by way of phone, we welcome Shelley Hamilton, who's been a vital part in the ministry of her husband, Ron Hamilton, whose alias is Patch the Pirate. In 1978, she came alongside her husband to rejoice in the Lord through the loss of his eye to cancer. This tragedy that they walked through was transformed into a lifelong blessing of music and ministry to children, families, churches, and schools all across the globe. Shelley continues to trust in God following the tragic death of their son, Jonathan, and the many trials that they have subsequently faced as a family, now including Ron's early onset dementia that has so changed their lives as well. Well, for decades, Shelley has served as administrative producer of the Majesty Music products like Patch the Pirate Adventure Series, the hymnals Majesty and Rejoice, and numerous other works. Ron served as a local church music minister for over two decades. Shelley was right there by his side as a church pianist, special music coordinator, and administrative music librarian. She continues in faithful local church ministry and author of a newly released book, Always Only Good, A Journey of Faith Through Mental Illness. Shelley, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Shelley, you indicate that the writing of this book was not really your choice. It's a book that you really struggled over a period of years to write. So tell us about that struggle, that internal struggle to write this, and then what finally motivated you to follow through and write the book?
Well, after our son Jonathan died, May 12, 2013, it was very difficult to relive the mental illness he had lived with for 15 years. When he was 18, he took an antibiotic for acne that triggered clinical depression, and it lasted for 15 years. Eventually, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and then he finally took his life on Mother's Day in 2013. And I was very burdened through that period of 15 years for others who would contact me and say, I have the same thing with my child or my spouse or my parents or just someone they loved or knew. And I wanted to be a help to them through the things that my husband and I had learned through our own son's mental illness. And so it took me 8 years. The year after he died, I started the first chapter, and then each year I wrote just a paragraph,
mm-hmm.
and then wrote another paragraph. And then finally, in 2020, in March, when COVID was, we were all in lockdown, I just said, I'm going to finish this book, even though my computer was tear-stained many times, just mm-hmm. recalling everything. But my motivation eventually was, well, probably most of all, was the deep love that I have for my son and for what he went through. And I wanted to portray that hope runs deeper than despair, even through hard things. And other reasons include helping remove the stigma of mental illness by letting the outsider in, helping counselors know better how to come alongside, encouraging onlookers to be more supportive, encouraging those who live with mental illness to keep taking their medications. And I wanted to give hope to those who live with mental illness and to those who are its caregivers that you are not alone.
Yeah. Well, Shelley, we're going to really go back and tell the story that you've summarized here for us and to work ourselves through this book, Always Only Good, A Journey of Faith Through Mental Illness. You married Ron Hamilton, known to many as Patch the Pirate, married in 1975, but it was just 3 years into your marriage that Ron began having some trouble with his sight. And for those not familiar, just briefly relay this account to our listeners as to what transpired.
Well, in 1978, because he was having trouble reading music over his students' shoulders, he went to the eye doctor, and that's when they discovered in the back of his left eyeball melanoma cancer. And they tested it for several months, and going back and forth to Atlanta from Greenville, South Carolina, where we live. And finally, it was 95% sure that they thought it was cancer. So we went into surgery. He had the eye removed. It was indeed cancer. They didn't feel like it had gone to the rest of his body and that it was self-contained. And it was. Fortunately, for others, I've heard it has not been. But so he started wearing a patch over that eye before he got the prosthesis, and kids started calling him a pirate because of that patch.
Mm-hmm.
And he enjoyed that. And when he finally got the prosthetic eye, he said, I enjoy wearing the patch. I feel others are more comfortable talking to me with it, and the kids enjoy it. And he started writing music for kids. We did recordings and their adventures with Patch the Pirate.
Indeed. And it was while you were going through this challenge, this trial, it's a time that you learned that you were expecting your first child, who we now know as Jonathan.
Correct. Correct. That week after his surgery, that's when I found out.
Well, I'd like to go back to 1982. Jonathan is 3 years old. His character name, Pee-wee Pirate, and introduced to listeners on the Patch the Pirate Goes to Space album. It was an LP album at that time. But on that album, he prays the sinner's prayer that has impacted people worldwide. I'm going to just play a brief clip. It's an older clip here, and then have you comment on it. Here we go.
Captain Patch? I want to be a Christian.
So, Pee-wee, you want to be a Christian. Now that's the most important decision a person can ever make. Would you like to pray right now and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, sir, Patch the Pirate. I sure would.
Then let's get down on our knees right here on the deck and pray together.
Okay, Captain.
Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For dying on the cross.
For dying on the cross.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
For all my sin.
For all my sin.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
And save me. I love you, Jesus.
Oh,
amen.
So precious here, Shelley.
You know how to make a mother cry, don't you?
Right. Well, the Lord, so we had the trial of Ron becoming Patch the Pirate, and the Lord launched this ministry through adversity and Jonathan coming into your lives. And now, really, this is his first ministry through this, and this is a sinner's prayer that so many have heard through the years that have impacted them.
Yes, and they've prayed the same prayer. We've heard many reports of that, which praise the Lord.
Well, later in life, eighth grade, your John went through a rebellious time, caught stealing. You called this a shock, almost a catalyst moment. Tell us about it.
Yes. We knew that he was talking too much at school and being late to classes, but we had no idea that he was capable of stealing. Jonathan actually was dismissed from school. Several years later. It's kind of a long, long story, but he eventually went to Spain and Russia and lived with some missionaries for almost a year, and he just turned his heart around, praise God, and came home very strong spiritually.
As a matter of fact, by the time he graduated from high school, and you've got his statement that he gave, I mean, a powerful statement at graduation time, how God had gotten a hold of his life, you wrote out his testimony. I'm just going to share a couple paragraphs here. It says, when I think back upon my life, I always think on God's mercy and love for his children. God has given me so much. He gave me great parents, a great church, a great school, but I chose to rebel against these and follow my own way after my own lust. In my ninth grade year at the academy, I started to turn from all I had been taught. I was reaching the age when I started to realize that I had to make my own choices about life and what I was going to live for. Unfortunately, I chose the road of my own pleasure and started the process of totally shoving God out of my life. I would just like to stop here and thank the Lord that he is lovingly chastises his children to keep them from the total destruction and damnation of sin. I'll not go into any detail of my sin, but I will say, had it not been for the loving, chastening hand of God, I would not be standing before you today. And then concluded by saying, the Lord, through my parents, the school, and his own Holy Spirit, brought me lovingly back to himself. I only wish I could describe for you the peace that God has given me when one gives himself wholly to God. I also believe that one cannot understand this peace until he experiences it for himself. I'd encourage any of you here today that are holding anything back from God to give yourself totally to him, because only by a pure and clean heart can one have true joy and peace. Shelley, such a powerful testimony.
Yes, thank you.
Wow.
It was, and he loved to go witnessing. He would go every week, and he would take his fellow high schoolers with him, and he would go to the downtown area, and that was really his biggest passion. And in fact, his freshman year of college, he got a Soul Winners Award because he had been witnessing, and some young people had accepted Christ, and then someone turned his name in as thinking he deserved the Soul Winners Award.
My.
And they presented it in chapel. And then, unfortunately, it was his sophomore year that he took the antibiotic for acne.
He was dealing with acne and was encouraged to see a dermatologist. So tell us that story, if you would.
Okay, well, it was my idea, actually, for him to see the dermatologist, because I had heard there was medicine that would help with it, and he was dealing with quite a bit of acne on his face, and he went and was put on an antibiotic, and within several weeks he started acting a little differently. He stopped eating well. He would sit at supper and twirl, you know, his fork on his plate, and then he stopped studying. He would just kind of sit in his room and stare, and then he was saying he was nervous all the time. He said, Mom, I'm walking down the sidewalk at school, and I feel like I'm performing on Vespers again, because he had just performed on Vespers and sang Ron's Rejoice in the Lord for 3,000 people. And he said, that's how nervous I feel just walking down the sidewalk to say hi to someone. And this was so unusual for him, because he was a very brave, confident young man. And so another child, I went and took another child to the dermatologist and then asked about Jonathan's behavior. And he said, oh, it's the antibiotic. Get him off of it. And I had previously called the nurse there at the dermatologist's office, and she said, no, it's not the antibiotic. So I thought, okay, it's not that. And so we continued it. But then the dermatologist said, yes, it is, and get him off immediately, which we did. But then he did not come back to himself, unfortunately.
We're going to come back with the story here today. Shelley Hamilton is with us, recently authored the book Always Only Good, A Journey of Faith Through Mental Illness. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what were the flying dinosaurs?
Chris, the flying reptiles like the pterodactyls were not really dinosaurs. By definition, dinosaurs walked on land with bones different from the flying reptiles. But they're often in the same discussion, usually as being huge reptiles from the great age of reptiles. Of course, I disagree with the term age of reptiles. I think all animals were created during creation week. Flying animals on day 5 and land animals on day 6. But, you know, there's a lot of evidence that these flying reptiles lived at the same time as humans. Sober historians of yesteryear described such beasts and even drew pictures of them. And the American Indians even drew pictures of the Thunderbird, and their drawings are similar to the Pteranodon. Make no mistake, Chris, the evidence fits the back-to-Genesis truth of recent creation of all things.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Always only good. We're talking today about a journey of faith through mental illness. With us today, Shelley Hamilton is with us today as she has released the book, Always Only Good, and telling the story of her son, Jonathan, who had an issue with acne, went to a dermatologist, knowing that there are medications to help that. Behavior started changing, followed up with the doctor, and the doctor said to you, Shelley, get him off that medication. And we're going to have you pick up the story from there, because I understand he was also put on an antidepressant.
Yes. Because of the depression he went into, it just kept getting worse, even off the antibiotic. And he finished out his sophomore year, but then we went to a doctor at Bob Jones where he was going to school, and the doctor's mother had schizophrenia, so he recognized immediately that Jonathan was in this clinical depression and tried different antidepressants. None of them seemed to work. He finally recommended we go to a Christian psychiatrist there was in Greenville where we live, and we went, and the psychiatrist tried dozens of medicines for probably 2 or 3 years, but Jonathan by this time was just laying flat on his back in bed. The medicines were not working, and so that first psychiatrist told us this would probably be the way Jonathan would be for the rest of his life.
Mm.
And you know how you have dreams for your child.
Yes.
And Ron and I kind of hoped he might take over Majesty Music someday, because he wrote beautiful music. He was a talented singer, trombonist, guitarist, pianist, and now he couldn't even function outside of his bedroom.
And a nurse told you, just get used to this. It's close to behaving like schizophrenia.
Yes. And so we took him to, I don't know how many doctors. We went up to Johns Hopkins. We went to the only doctor in Greenville that did electric shock therapy. And he said Jonathan was a candidate for it, but he encouraged us to keep trying medicines. And we finally went to a Dr. Jeffrey Craddock, a very dedicated Christian, who talking about it makes me cry just because he's been such a blessing to our family. But he encouraged Jonathan that we were going to help him, and he finally found, after about 3 more years, a combination of 3 medicines that Jonathan was able to start working at Chick-fil-A. And he was tired a lot because of the medications, but he came back more to himself and was able to function somewhat. So that was just a small blessing,
mm-hmm.
but you can imagine for a child that has been bedridden how big a blessing it was.
Shelley, for many years you kept Jonathan's mental illness just to yourselves. Tell us why.
Well, because we didn't quite understand it ourselves, and that had brought 3 different Christian counselors to the home, and they all said it was a spiritual problem, but then the doctors were saying, no, this is definitely a physical problem. And then when he was finally on medicines that helped him behave better and become more like himself, we were definite believers that he had something was going wrong with his brain, which is like, you know, as an organ, like other organs, and something can go wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
His brain chemicals were short-circuiting. He could hardly talk. Anyway, that's why, I guess, and to protect his privacy. Eventually, he started writing music, and he started, he was starting to act even a little more normal on the medicine, and a ladies group asked me about sharing his story, because by that point it had gotten around a little bit of what he had faced. And so I asked Jonathan, do you mind if I share your story? about your journey through mental illness. And he said, no, Mom, as long as you tell him how well I'm doing. And so I shared that probably, I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe. And that started this whole journey through helping people that deal with mental illness. Yeah.
You actually write in your book, Shelley, going through mental illness is like the soldier who wore Confederate pants and a Union jacket. He got shot at both ends. Tell us what you mean by that and who's doing the shooting.
Okay. Oh, can you tell me the statement right before it? I'm trying to remember why I wrote that statement. I do remember writing it.
Yes, and I'm sorry, I don't have that page. I just have the exact quote there.
I think it's because as a Christian, as a Christian with mental illness, some Christians criticize you or criticize your child for having spiritual problems. And I am trying to remember. I'm sorry, Jim.
That's okay.
Why I wrote that, but it it had something to do with.
You did.
Feeling like I needed support, but
yes.
Didn't have it.
Okay, and you compared mental disorder to like a cancer. Describe that for us, if you would.
It's because, like, brain cancer can affect your brain, and it can change your behavior, can change your ability to speak. It's like a cancer in your brain. It's like my husband's dementia. My husband's dementia has been going on for 11 years now, and he exhibits a little bit of the same type of behaviors. He has stayed sweet, and Jonathan really pretty much stayed sweet, but a lot of emotional dysregulation with dementia and mental illness. I just see similarities between the two, and it's just that the brain is an organ and something can go wrong with it.
You had many ups and downs, a roller coaster ride in the treatment for Jonathan and so forth, but there came a point when he displayed signs that he was thinking about suicide. Take us to that point.
Okay, well, it was actually 2 years in. One of the antidepressants gave him energy to get out of bed, but he said, if I'm going to have to live like this the rest of my life, it's not worth it. And he went and pawned off his trombone, unbeknownst to us. We don't even know how he got to the pawn shop. And he went and shot his pistol into a tree, and it didn't do enough damage, he thought, to take his life. And so he came back home. He had read about a man with mental illness that tried to take his life with a gun and then did not succeed and became a paraplegic and was bound to a wheelchair, and he said that would be the worst thing he could think could happen to him, that he'd have mental illness and be crippled.
How did you react?
Oh, it's devastating. At first, he had three or four attempts, really, I think, to suicide. There's one that I wasn't... Anyway, three major attempts to suicide. And I remember that first one was Saturday night, and then Ron and I kept our music ministry going at church, even though we never left him alone. One of our older children stayed with him when we'd go to church and continue our being the music directors at Calvary Baptist in Simpsonville. And I didn't tell anyone. You know, we're sitting there, and he had just tried to take his life the night before. It's I cannot describe how grievous it is.
You actually had to have John committed to a hospital. That had to be very, very painful for you.
Oh, it's awful, that too, because when he was really, really ill, he didn't think he was ill. He thought, you know, that the rest of the world had the problem, not him. And it's so typical of someone with mental illness not to want to take their medicine and not to accept that they have this illness. And so now I can't remember where I was going with that.
Yeah, as far as committing John to the hospital.
Oh, yes. So he, I think the first time was after he had tried to take his life. with that gun, and we called our doctor, and he said, yes, we need to get him committed. We tried to talk Jonathan into going to the hospital and admitting himself into the emergency room, and we would take him and go with him, but he refused. So we had to, there's a process, like a 2 or 3 day process. You have to go to court. You have to get a judge's signed permission to get him committed. Then you have to get the doctor's assessment of why he needs to be in the hospital, and you've got to get that signed, and then you go to the police station, give them the reports, the documents, and then they, as they can, they come get them, and they usually handcuff them, which I understand because they don't, you know, they're in danger. If the person becomes very agitated, which, of course, we've seen on the news, mentally ill people taking other people's lives, and anyway, then they drive them away in the police car. Yeah, like a criminal, and it's very traumatic.
Shelley, what impact did this have on your other children?
Some of them. We have five children. Jonathan's the oldest, and so at the time he's 18. Tara's 17, Alyssa is 15, and then Megan is 8, and Jason 4. So as he went through the 15-year illness, some of them had a hard time understanding his mental illness or believing it really was mental illness. I mean, they saw the same thing we did, but they thought certainly he can control this behavior. And it can look even like demon possession sometimes. I hate to say that. And I read books on demon possession. I was wondering, but I just feel that Satan gets in there. He sees someone when they're weak, and I believe he communicates spirit to spirit. I believe maybe he can whisper in your ear at your weakest point, and you can believe lies. You can believe the powers of darkness, their lies, and the children, I believe at this point, because we've had many talks about it, they understand a lot more Jonathan's illness now, and they accept it. They have become sympathetic to those who have special needs, any kind of special need, and more patient with people. They are less judgmental, as Ron and I also have become, even though we never thought we were. We became even less so because some people still didn't understand at our church, you know, what's wrong with Jonathan.
Shelley Hamilton with us here today on Crosstalk, and we're just seconds away from a break. We're going to take the break and pick up further with the story, because while this is happening later into the stages here, Shelley's husband, Ron, started having memory issues too, which we want to bring up. And then we're going to take you to that Mother's Day in 2013. So, friends, stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Her book is entitled Always Only Good, A Journey of Faith Through Mental Illness. We'll also be sharing how you can obtain a copy of this book as well. It's a powerful story, certainly depicting not only the life and love that John had for the Lord, but the struggle with mental illness that eventually took his life and has impacted this family, but now reaching out to help others going through the struggle. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Nearly 90% of Christian children attend a public school. Filmmaker Colin Gunn, a homeschool father of seven, went on the field trip of a lifetime. Driving an old school bus, Colin and his family traveled across the nation, exploring the origins and social impact of public school education to discover if children are morally and physically safe, if public schools are religiously neutral, and should Christians try to be salt and light in secular schools. 102 minutes in length, it's an impactful message. In the companion book, Indoctrination, some 18 writers come together to look at how the educational system is actively at work to alter your child's moral values, worldview, and religious beliefs. It explores the biblical principles regarding education and who is ultimately responsible for our children's future. The Indoctrination DVD is available for a donation of $22. The book is available for a donation of $18. Or you can obtain both for a donation of $35. To obtain yours, call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Always Only Good, A Journey of Faith Through Mental Illness. Our guest today, Shelley Hamilton. Many of you know her as the wife of Patch the Pirate, Sissy Seagull on so many of the recordings, and certainly has been so instrumental in providing sacred music, whether that be that of music scores or the productions that have come through the Patch the Pirate series or other Majesty Music recordings as well. Telling her story, folks, real people, real lives, real issues that are being confronted with. And as you're dealing with these issues with your son, Jonathan, for a number of years, all of a sudden you noticed your own husband, Ron, Patch the Pirate, he was having some memory issues.
Exactly. You know, at first you think it's just maybe senior moments that we all, at least I'm starting to experience or have been. And then it becomes more obvious and pronounced, and you realize something is going on. But Jim, I would like to I really want to communicate before I go into Ron's dementia.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest lesson that I learned, and the reason for the title of the book, Always Only Good. The biggest lesson I learned is to believe not only in my head, but in my heart, feel in my heart that God is good, that it should never be said flippantly, but instead becomes a deep conviction within your heart whether good or bad things happen. And I really struggled with this after Jonathan got ill. I thought, here's a talented young man, a popular, handsome young man that wanted to serve the Lord, wanted to become a music pastor, went witnessing, and I said, Dear Jesus, you have the wrong guy. Hmm. But God didn't. God knew. And I really was angry at first. I really was angry. I would cry myself to sleep thinking, Dear Jesus, how can you be good and allow something as devastating as mental illness to take a young man's mind? And as I read and studied scripture and went to counseling with my neighbor who became my spiritual mentor, a retired missionary to Haiti, Sarah Bennett, I realized, God, yes, you did make the world and everything in it to be beautiful and good. Satan, through Adam and Eve, brought sin, sickness, sorrow, sadness, and death into the world, and consequently bad things. And Satan wants us to believe bad things happen because God is not good. But it is definitely instead because he is evil. And when I finally grasped that truth in my heart, in my very soul, I didn't deal with anger anymore towards God. It was hard to deal with the repercussions of Jonathan's mental illness. And then to start with Ron's dementia was difficult, but I never struggled. I can't say never, but I remember one time thinking, God, are you really good? You know, when Jonathan was really ill, but I really came to grips with that in my heart, that God was my friend and sometimes allowed or decreed bad things into my life to make me better. Satan brought bad things into my life only through God's permission to try to defeat me and to make me bitter. And I determined I was not going to get bitter. I wanted to glorify God, and I think we glorify God through trials that we accept and worship him through and praise him. And I'm not saying it's easy through difficult trials, especially trials that come and stay. You know, some trials come and go.
Right.
And some trials come and stay. Like with your son, Jim, I know that is a trial that has come and stayed with you. But when you don't become bitter, you do become better, and God turns it into a pulpit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Shelley, and that's something that came through loud and clear, even when you go back to Ron's original issue with his eye and the cancer that took his eye, going back to the book of Job, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, the theme music of Rejoice in the Lord, his testimony in that, and God is always good, and really that comes through loud and clear in your book. And friends, if there's anything you want to take away from the interview today, is that very fact, that God is always good. Even when tragedy comes, when trials come, when heartache and grief come to your life, God is always only good.
Yes,
Shelley, we're going to go back to Mother's Day in 2013.
Okay, all right.
And in an evening before Mother's Day, John came into your bedroom, and you had an extensive time of talking with one another. Tell us about that time.
Okay, well, Jonathan, this is in May 2013, but in November, six months previous to that time, the antipsychotic medicine he was on generics came out, and so the insurance would not pay for the name brand anymore. And so we went into a search for a generic that Jonathan could tolerate because we couldn't afford the $1,000 a month for very long. Mm-hmm. Of the name brand. And of course, generics are only have to be 80%. And to make a long story short, after about six or seven tries with generics and him not doing well, he finally took himself off, unbeknownst to us. And the night before he took his life, he came into our room and talked, which was always a sign to Ron and I, or to Ron and me, that he was going downhill with his mental illness, and we thought we've got to up his medicine. And he was talking kind of delusionally again and not making sense. And so that's what we thought. And then the next day was Mother's Day.
And Shelley, let me just say, before Mother's Day happened, and I'm looking at your book here, page 161, after that evening you wrote, "In my anguish I write this prayer. Dear Lord, we're looking to you, Father. We have no one else. We need no one else. You are the one. You have made us. You have been patient with our sinfulness and lack of trust. You see that we are dust. You've redeemed and quickened us. You live in us and give us your Holy Spirit to comfort us, to give us guidance, to give us hope and a future. May my desires be enlarged and my hopes emboldened. I will trust you. Don't let me do anything to get my fingers in your business. I want everything I think, do, and say to glorify you. I will sweep all else out of the closet. We are looking to you, Father." That was a prayer in your heart.
Yes, it was. I hadn't remembered. I haven't read the book for a little while since I added it. But thank you. Yes, that was my heart. And
so, tell us about Mother's Day.
Okay, so Ron and I, we went to church. Jonathan actually many Sundays got dressed to go to church and drove all the way out there, but the social anxiety was so hard or so severe with him that he would just drive back home. So he did that Sunday, and then he prepared a wonderful lunch for me, for my mom, and Ron's mom. And he served us, he laughed, he joked with us, and it was a wonderful time. And then I remember going into my office before choir practice that night, and reading, it was a letter written to my dad that was very cruel from someone, and my dad had given it and showed it to me, and I was crying. Excuse me. And then, excuse me.
It's okay.
Jonathan finally came into my office and told me all the reasons he would never take his life. He was afraid he wouldn't go to heaven because of his mental illness. And I don't usually assure someone who questions their salvation I want them to know in their hearts, but it was when he was weak mentally that he would start having these questions and thought his depression was going to send him to hell. He really felt that. And so I assured him, honey, you've asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. You will.
Talking with Shelley Hamilton, conveying Mother's Day here of 2013.
So, anyway, I remember debating whether I should go to choir practice, but many nights if Jonathan wasn't feeling well, he would just go out and drive around in his car, and that kind of helped clear his head from these emotions that bombarded his brain and his thoughts. And so I told Ron maybe I should stay home, but the week before I was sick and I didn't go, so I thought, well, I better go. He'll probably just drive around in his car, and we need to see the doctor tomorrow and get his medicine up. And so I went, but then that's during choir practices when Jonathan texted Ron. Ron didn't see it right away and said, I'm jumping from a garage, and I love you.
Ron saw that text later.
He saw it right after choir practice, and we immediately drove home, called the police to meet us. We thought it was our garage at the house. And so we called the police to meet us there. But the detective I talked to kept calling me back and asking questions. And I said, just please go search for him, because I really didn't believe he had done it in my heart. And anyway, they already knew somebody had jumped from a parking garage downtown Greenville. So they already knew. But they didn't tell us. Anyway, so long story short, when we finally went looking ourselves, Ron and I, and then they said, please go to the police station and wait, and we did. And several hours later, they came and told us the news. But the chaplain for the police was so sweet, and of course, I wailed. And I told him, yes, my son's a Christian. He said, ma'am, your son is walking on the streets of gold. And he is. He still is.
Yeah.
I have no doubt he had asked God into his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I know other Christian authors like William Cooper, who wrote There is a Fountain, struggled with the same depression. And who's the author of Amazing Grace?
John Newton.
Yes, John Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Was William Cooper's probably best friend, and he guided him and was a dear friend to William Cooper through his depression that he lived with. And just what a friend he was to him. And Jonathan had some friends like that. And I just praise the Lord. I would never condone suicide, ever. God does not want us to take our lives or anyone else's lives. But I can't help but be glad that he is free from his suffering.
Shelley Hamilton with us here today on Crosstalk. A quick break here, friends, and I'm going to have Shelley complete our time today here on what is giving her strength in times like this and her help and guidance for those who are struggling with depression as well. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. I've been looking at hate speech laws that are rising all over the world, from Scotland to Canada, and now calls in the U.S. increasing for hate speech legislation. What hate speech? Well, in many cases, speaking the truth about Islam. Now, they're going to push these so-called hate speech laws, many of them, including Tony Blair in Europe, by saying they want to fight anti-Semitism. Yet the funny thing is, and it's not funny, most of these people don't care one iota about the Jewish people or the Jewish state. That's a cover for implementing legislation to criminalize those who speak truth about things such as Islam or the LGBTQ community. What does the Bible say about this? Galatians 4:6, I have therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. And yet, we should be ready to tell the truth even with a penalty.
Friends, today on Crosstalk, we're just encapsulizing the story that Shelley has very painfully and tearfully put down in print. And you can read it for yourself and get the hope, the help from reading the chapters of this book entitled Always Only Good, A Journey of Faith Through Mental Illness. They are taking availables. This is available through Majesty Music. You can go to their website, majestymusic.com, and there on the homepage, you'll see a box there with her book, Always Only Good. That's majestymusic.com, or you may contact them toll-free at this number to get the information on obtaining the book. Call 1-800-334-1071. That's 1-800-334-1071. Shelley, you wrote a chapter specifically to those struggling with depression. What are you conveying in this chapter? What do you want to convey through the story of Jonathan, your son, on helping those who are struggling with depression?
I think there are several things. Number one is to love those who are going through depression. It is very difficult to live with someone in your home that is struggling with depression or schizophrenia, but there is hope. There are medicines now that help. Jonathan, if I would have been able to keep him on that name brand medicine, I don't know, but in my mind, I think I would still have him today. Mm-hmm. And I know that the mental health medical field tell us that so many, if they will stay on their medicines, will be able to function and live maybe not the exact normal life they had before, but they can deal and function on their medicine. And please, if you get better, do not, or I should say when you get better, do not go off that medicine, because the big temptation is now I'm better, I don't like the side effects of the medicine, and I will go off. So please stay on your medicine. Mm.
Shelley, I'd like to approach another issue, and that is for caregivers, those who are dealing with situations perhaps similar or very different than what you have, but are caregivers and watching over loved ones, some in chronic illnesses, some seeing their loved ones go through the struggles that you're seeing right now with Ron and dementia. But yes. As a caregiver, you've had to repeat often the words, I'm on assignment. Tell us what you mean
yes.
by that.
I think sometimes when we're going through a difficult trial, we need to try to take the emotion out of it as much as we can. You can't take it all out, because God gave us our emotions and they are going to be with us. But if you can not get bitter about whoever you're taking care of, not be why me, you know, maybe why not me? Because so many go through these hard things. There are many people doing caregiving to someone for different reasons: cancer, dementia, autism. It is what it is. It's life. It's illness that we have now because of sin. And when I say I'm on assignment, for some reason that helps take the emotion out of it. Like, okay, Lord, this is my assignment today. Okay, I'm going to be okay. I wish I didn't have this assignment, maybe. I wish I could just go about my life, you know, like I was. But now I have, this is my assignment from you, and I will do it. I will do it with a glad heart and try to get an A plus. Mm-hmm. I don't know if for some reason saying that really helps.
Mm-hmm. Your son Jonathan's been gone now multiple years, and yet you still have the grief, Shelley. How do you deal with the grips of grief?
Oh, how do I deal with that? I think the biggest way I deal with it is to focus on my blessings. I remember in childbirth, when I took Lamaze classes, we were taught to focus on a focal point,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it would help take away the pain that we were experiencing
yeah.
in childbirth. And I remember delivering my last son, Jason, I kept thinking about my arm. Instead of doing it on an inanimate object, I took my arm and I thought, oh, my arm feels so good.
Hmm.
Oh, my arm. Oh, mm-hmm. it doesn't hurt. It doesn't, you know. And I think our focus is so important that we all have blessings. They, you know, even if it's just one blessing, mm-hmm. you've got to have more than one. You have food to eat. You have maybe a roof over your head. I don't know. You just name your blessings. And I try to focus on my blessings, not the hard things. And that brings me joy. And it gives me support through the grief.
And friends, on page 239 in her book, she says, if you've never been in the valley, you cannot truly appreciate the mountaintop. That whole aspect of focusing on the blessings. And again, as Shelley has wrapped up and summarized her book with the conviction, God is always only good. There's another one, The Just Shall Live by Faith, you put in there as well. And I know there are many who have turned their back on God, Shelley, when stiff trials have come. But these two convictions have sustained you. We've got just a half a minute left. Go ahead and share what you'd like to with the listeners.
Yes, being angry to God, towards God, or turning away from Him will only bring you heartache. God is good. God is there. God loves you. Our eternal life is forever, and He wants you to be a part of that. He died. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, so that you could be saved and spend eternal life free of sin and free of sickness and free of sorrow. And He wants you to have that joy, and that will be forever. So please, please, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, please do so, and don't turn your heart away from God. It will only bring you more heartache.
Amen. God bless you, Shelley. Thank you so much for sharing your heart today and through your pain, helping others who are going through this time of struggle.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
Shelley Hamilton with us here today on Crosstalk, Always Only Good, A Journey of Faith Through Mental Illness. You can find her book at majestymusic.com, majestymusic.com, or calling 800-334-1071. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.